All right, there we go. So we are on the air live for the Patreon Google Hangout. It's kind of odd. It's only me right now. I'm hoping that more folk are going to be joining us soon. So that's great. Yeah, this is kind of interesting. Realizing how badly I need to shave. This is a bad beard. This is a scruffy, scruffy bad beard. But yeah, that's okay though. Just open up some pods here. We got some Q&A pods. Feature seems to be disabled. Let's see what else we got going on here. As you can tell, I do a lot of Google Hangouts. And by Google Hangouts, I mean I don't do a lot at all. So that's okay, though. That's okay. I am Ben Masson, one of the hosts of Nintendo Dads. Yeah, this is a thing that we do. Thing that we do, y'all. So, I'm gonna see if anyone actually comes on board. I don't really know how we'll even tell if people come on to this. What is you? What is that? Is that? How am I being broadcast? Oh, we got one person who's viewing it, or maybe that's me viewing myself. I don't really know. Present to everyone? Profiling you? I don't know what's going on there. It's so weird. I'm really hoping, though, that my... Oh, hey, there we go. Someone coming in right now. Brian!
Hey,
how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you, Justin?
Good, thank you. I'm glad this actually worked. I was like, well, I don't know, it's not connecting. What is going on? I got Zach calling me right now. I'm going to hang up on him.
Okay.
There we go. What's going on, Brian?
Oh, just watching a baseball game.
Who are you watching?
The Atlanta Braves.
Atlanta Braves. Big Atlanta Braves fan?
Oh, yeah. 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 Ever since probably around 14 or so. So.
Nice.
Been going to games every year. Got to go to the World Series in 1999, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, I met my wife there, too.
Oh, really? That's awesome. Nothing wrong with that at all.
So, we're both big baseball nerds.
So, what is, like, baseball nerds, what is that like?
Well, it's a long season, so they play for 6 months out of a year, usually about every day, you know, every 10 or 15 days or so, they'll get a day off and... travel somewhere, and then it's just a lot of commitment 6 months out of the year watching baseball.
Yeah. So do you travel a lot around to see them a lot too, or is that just kind of whenever they're
locals can be? See, I'm about 3 hours from where they are in Atlanta.
Okay.
So we don't get to go to a lot of games during the year. Right. Usually, I don't know, 4 or 5 games a year, but we haven't even been to our first one yet this season. It's been a very busy summer. We just bought our first house and just moved.
Last oh, wow. Nice. Congratulations.
A lot of busy time with getting all that settled. So
sure.
But we do have tickets. We are going to our first game in September.
Nice.
In just a few weeks.
And how are they doing in this season?
Terrible.
Terrible. There's no World Series hope here.
Yeah, there's not a chance. We're bottom of the rung in the entire MLB.
Oh, wow.
it's bad.
It's bad. I like that. So, at least you're being pretty honest about it.
I still enjoy it, even if we're losing. I remain a fan.
Good. Excellent. Speaking of always remaining a fan, sexy music that's coming right now, Zach Erickson.
Why is my microphone on? Why is it using the wrong camera?
I don't know. A, it's using the wrong camera, but you had some really sexy music coming in there.
Yeah, dude.
It's pretty sweet.
Careless Whisper every time.
It's baller. On the line with us is Brian.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Hey, Zach. How's it going?
Good.
I was just talking. I was just talking to Justin. We were talking about baseball.
Sports ball.
Yeah.
We got compliments from last week that we had the most hockey talk ever, and people liked it. I was like,
you liked it? Really? Well, I hate to tell you, but I hate to tell you, but I don't really. That was like about the extent of my hockey knowledge.
About the extent of the hockey talk, I like it.
That's about as hockey as I get. I don't know. That's fair. Like, something about a hockey stick and a puck. I don't know.
Stuff like that. I like it.
I like. Dude, hockey. I just had like the last 2 days. I left Edmonton yesterday, Justin, at like probably 6 o'clock, and just got back.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you doing down this way?
Whole lot of. Well, I had to go to the bank and do some signing for student loans and co-sign, like have my mom as a co-signer, because you know, being 31 and having your mom as a co-signer is a cool thing to do still. So that's fun.
Nice.
That's what I get for being in school for 9 years.
Anyway, the sacrifice.
So I had to do that, but it's all gotta be done that way, I guess.
Nice.
So, whatever.
Brian, how are you liking the line chat so far? You just jumped in today, right?
Yeah, I did. Still trying to figure it out a little bit, but it seems pretty cool. I like that there's a lot of different things that you can add to it, like the notes area where everybody's posting their Nintendo Network ID, their 3DS codes. That's really cool.
Yeah. Mine's pretty slick, man. I really like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you when Zach kind of approached us about, oh, we should get in this line thing, I was like, another messaging app, like, man. Because we used to just have, like, an iMessage chat, just the three of us. It seemed to work really well.
Right.
But we moved to Line now, and I'm like, yeah, this is stellar. Like, this is super easy to use. I like the animation stuff. I like the private groups. It's really great.
It's pretty cool. I know there's lots of different options, but and we've even kind of thrown around the idea of maybe having like a Facebook group or something like that. We're not, like, I don't know, something, but I do like for patrons to have something that's like, you know, a little bit more personal and you know, more self-contained. Whereas like Facebook is like a huge, you know, once you do that, it's you unleash it to the masses and everything. You know what I mean? So
kind of sworn off Facebook.
You know, I'm surprised at how many people I know have done that. And I,
So what made you kind of swear off it?
too much drama that just was unnecessary.
That's one of the two reasons that I've seen. Mm-hmm. There's just too much drama, and also I've seen it's like the Justin not going to Walmart thing. It's like just too much power in one little container or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I just call that a crazy wife. That's all I call that.
Hey, you know what? You're supportive. Sometimes you're that too.
I am something.
But yeah.
Nice. So Brian, what have you been playing lately?
Oh man, I have been playing Legend of Zelda Minish Cap.
Ooh.
On the Wii U Virtual Console. Man, that is a fantastic game.
Really?
Yes.
I haven't played it. I picked it up when it was on sale. I haven't played it yet. What makes it so fantastic?
No, that was the same for me. I never had the Game Boy Advance, so I missed all of those games. So when it went on sale, I decided I'm going to pick it up, and it took me forever, but I finally got around to playing it. Man, it's just so good. Like, everything that I love about, Link to the Past, It's very much that style, but just elevated even more. Like the music, the sound effects, everything is just even better. They just improved upon it. The new gameplay mechanics of being able to shrink down and having to solve puzzles as a tiny version of Link.
Wait, what?
Was really fun.
Minish Cap means, you know, like Minish as in like miniature. That's what
the Minish, I guess, is like a race of creatures or people or whatever, they're tiny. So the whole world looks enormous when you are Minish Link, and it's just like a new way to solve puzzles. So you gotta.
I wonder if that was at all some of the inspiration for Pikmin. Just when you're describing that miniature, kind of everything else looks gigantic.
Right.
Approach. I wonder if there was some connective tissue, or they may be being developed around the same time.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I don't really know what the timeline was.
Game Boy Advance, and I think Pikmin came first, but I think that's. I mean, it's possible that there was some some connection there, some inspiration.
Sure.
And then the companion that runs with you, you know, like on Ocarina of Time, you had Navi, the fairy. So in Minish Cap, your companion is Ezlo, and he's your hat. So he was somebody else that now he's got a curse placed upon him, and he is your hat that you wear on your head, and he comes up alive at some point and makes like sarcastic comments to you while you're playing, and it's done really well.
Nice. That companion character of the Zelda franchise has been very staple for like the last 15 to 20 years, right? We've had it in various forms, but does anyone recall there was no companion that we saw in Breath of the Wild, was there?
Not really. There was like the voice, like the sort of disembodied female voice that was in the demo,
right?
That some people assume might be Zelda, and there's also the slate that kind of. It's not really. It's more of like the Ocarina than it is the Navi.
Yeah.
But who knows? Yeah, like. It hasn't always been like that, though, right? Like mm-hmm. The original Zelda was Legend of Zelda didn't have that. It was almost more of a tutorial character that, and then a lot of games since then have come out, like Mario and like the Mario and Luigi series is notorious for that too, right? Where it's like the little whatever the little star creature's name is, has that too, and. Yeah, I wonder if they'll have anything like that. It's possible, but I don't know. We'll see. I wouldn't be sad if we didn't get it. If instead it was kind of peppered throughout the game of like kind of like in the demo where it was like the old man, right? And then you go to the next town and it's somebody else, and you go to or maybe it's like a race of people or a like a society of people, like a guild. I don't know. Like. It's like this old man's buddy who, I don't know. We'll see. But
that just happens to look the same.
Yeah. Whoa, Jesse.
I made it.
Nice. Welcome. Hey, Justin, we just got another medal.
Did we? For what? Being Canadian?
Swimming.
Nice. Again. Good for us.
Have you been following the Olympics?
I've been following the Rugby Women's Olympics. Because
it's brutal.
Because I am a huge rugby fan, and we had two of the players from Lethbridge here.
Yeah,
and they did tremendous. So yeah, I was happy with that.
And now there's one of the swimming people is like 16 years old.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that Penny something something.
Penny something. Penny from isn't that like the girl from Inspector Gadget?
I think she is as well. But yeah, and she's like from Quebec. I always feel like really underaccomplished. Like, I'm a 35-year-old fat man with a 7-day-old beard. I can't do that. And the 16-year-old's got two medals.
You know what? That is literally her entire life.
My beard is older than she is.
Yeah. So, Brian, what else? Any questions? You got any questions you want to talk about? Or what do you want to discuss? You got three of us. Just you.
Gosh, I don't know. I didn't really come prepared with any questions.
That's all right. You can chat about anything. Did you see any good movies recently, Brian?
Yes. Went back through the Jason Bourne trilogy.
Yes.
In preparation to see the new one. I have not gone to see the new one yet, but we are definitely looking forward to that one. And there was something else that we just saw recently. Oh, yeah, the new Star Trek movie.
I just saw it last night, actually. Yeah. What did you think of it? How would you rank it in the new Star Trek universe?
Well, let me just say that the new Star Trek universe is the only universe that I know.
Okay.
Star Trek.
That's gasp.
Okay.
Jesse. Yeah. Anyway. I've never watched the old ones. It's on my radar, I guess. Sure. I've wanted to go back and check those out. It's just a daunting task. you know, knowing how many different series there are and episodes in each. So there's other shows, and I'm like, yeah, this is only like two seasons. Let me get through that first. And so I haven't gotten around to it. All that to say, though, the new movies I do thoroughly enjoy, but I do not have, you know, that former knowledge of what the originals were like. So
right.
I think they're fun action, and I think they're done very well.
Yeah.
So I did like this newest one. I don't know that I liked it as much as the first or the second.
Mm.
But, you know, I think it was
good. Yeah, I kind of struggle with that, too. I kind of ranked it. I didn't mind the first one. I thought the first one was good to kind of establish characters, but it just didn't ring, I don't think, as good as the second one for me. I thought the second... I like Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's quite good.
Right.
Especially like Sherlock. I think he did a good job in this. Yeah. A lot of good action. And then this one I thought was pretty good as well. So I actually would rank it like 2, 3, 1. And I was like a diehard Trekkie growing up. So I watched all 10 of these things.
Yeah.
The TNG, Deep Space Nine, kind of got lost in Voyager, some Enterprise, and now that new one that's coming out looks all right as well. So,
yeah. So if I were to start on one of the older series, where would you recommend I begin?
Are you wanting to go series or movies?
Series.
Go TNG. Go the new Next Generation.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, the first seasons are a little bit rough. I'm not going to lie.
I'd say watch the first episode of Next Generation, but then after that, skip to season 3.
You know, that's probably a fair point to make, actually.
What about the spoiler alert, like the whole Tasha Yar thing? Is that a
that does play some prep. That there's an importance to it. I would go TNG, slog through the first two seasons, especially that first one's a bit rough. Mm-hmm. Riker hasn't found his beard yet. The uniforms are still just one camel toe, a little bit too awkward. Right, like it's just, you know, someone had to get some.
What year did that start? What year was that in though?
Like 87.
87.
Oh wow!
A very young Will Wheaton in these amazing space sweaters.
See, right. I was in middle school when that started.
Yeah. I remember like every Friday night. Like once I think I've talked about before on the show, like being a single. My mom was a single mom. But like we would kind of have like one night where it'd be like eat out night. So like the day you could have something that was takeout, right? And we would always order pizza from this little place in the town we lived, and it was like the same pizza every single freaking week. It was like she would get Hawaiian, I'd get pepperoni, and at 7 o'clock on a Friday it was always Star Trek: The Next Generation, and that was like routine, regular Friday night watching, right? Like it wasn't like, hey, you want to go play? I'm like, Star Trek TNG's on, and we're having pizza. So like, there's nothing you're gonna do that's better than that right now, folks. So we're gonna, you know. But yeah, so there, I think TNG's a good spot to start. And then I'd maybe, after you finish the TNG, then I'd move into the TNG movies.
Mm-hmm.
Generations is quite good. They've got the old cast and new cast. They've got a couple other good ones in there. Nemesis with a really young Tom Hardy, actually. Like I think it was his first like big movie breakout role. He is not like Bane muscled up or anything. He just looks like he looks kind of anorexic, I'm not going to lie.
That one's probably, I think, the weakest of all of them. But yeah,
you shut your dirty mouth.
Generations and First Contact are the best.
Yeah,
the
top two. Nemesis was good. And then they had, like, Insurrection.
It had a few funny moments, but really, that wasn't very good.
No, it was pretty horrible. I'm not going to lie.
Like, conversations between Worf and Data, I think, made the almost made the movie, but not quite.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's how I do it. And then if you finish all those and you want to chat some more, come back to me. I'll point you the next direction. But
sure, that's actually pretty on par with other advice that I've gotten about that show. Even the skipping the first couple of seasons and just moving on. You know,
even though you season two, you got a completely different doctor, and then you go back to the doctor from season one, and she's kind of useless.
Yeah, they had some weird casting stuff. They had some weird casting stuff at times as well, actually. Gotcha.
They definitely start with Next Generation, because if you don't see the first few seasons of Next Generation and then you try to go to, like, Deep Space Nine, mm-hmm. you it's assuming you've already known this history, that if you don't know it, you're going to be confused. Gotcha. And even then, the first few seasons of that was kind of shaky. It didn't really start getting good until maybe season 4 when they started with the big war. Spoiler alert.
I probably won't remember that by the time I started.
That's fair.
So I don't think I started watching Next Generation until like near the end of season 5. I think I saw 2 episodes. And then it cliffhangered. And I'm like, no! Yeah,
they definitely found their pacing around seasons 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. They were really in all the cylinders. And there were only 7 seasons of them. And you could kind of tell the last 2, they were just kind of winding down, kind of trying to figure out a way to wrap it up. At that point, the spin-off series were really starting to spin up. So Deep Space Nine was spinning up. I think Voyager was, a year away from spinning up as well. So you kind of see this down. It's interesting, right? Like, if you think about it, the 80s and 90s lent us a lot of Star Trek all the way up until the 2000s, and then it just died hard.
Yeah.
Network television.
I liked Enterprise. Very few people did. I have a friend who was a big Star Trek fan and will be adamant that Enterprise is not canon.
That's interesting.
Again, that was another show where it really didn't had a loose footing until after they announced the show was canceling. Then that last season got good.
That's fair.
And then that last season started filling in the holes, and that explained why the differences between what that show started and the original series, which then became the original series, especially with the Klingons.
What is it?
Join us next week when we start our own podcast called "This Is Star Trek Dads."
What is the current do we know the timeline of this new series?
Yes, it is 10 years after the original one. That was actually just announced today.
After
the original Star Trek.
So like before TNG?
Before TNG, yep.
So like Enterprise B-ish?
Ish, yep.
Interesting.
I was reading on the Facebook today.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a question for you guys. Do you guys, I've been on a huge horror movie kick lately. Does anybody here like horror movies?
I don't know, but Brian's cat's about to kill him is what's going to happen there right now.
Oh, gosh.
Pardon my cat, y'all.
That's all right. I was like, that's out of nowhere.
I have been watching so many horror movies lately. It's crazy. Nobody else, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't watch horror movies too. It's not everybody's thing, but
I don't watch horror movies at all. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to lie to you. I am watching Stranger Things, though.
That's what I was about to ask.
Brian, are you watching it?
Dude, I just finished it last night. I think my wife and I, we started it Monday or Tuesday night, and we finished it yesterday. But
I watched the first 6 episodes of that in one night. I was just like, okay, one more. Okay, one more. Yeah. Suddenly it was 3 in the morning. I was like, oh, gosh. That's I can't watch the last 2.
Got you in.
We got Richard joining the call.
Nice. Welcome, Richard. I literally just started it yesterday, and I just finished episode 5 today.
Yeah.
And I will be done by tomorrow. So I very rarely full binge watch, and these guys know, but I have binge watched it. I'll have binge watched it in 2 days.
That shows it's got that quality about it. You know, you just can't put it down.
Speaking of not binging,
it's only 8 episodes, right? So it's not that big of a deal if you binge it, because it's like, oh, well, it's only 8 episodes, big deal, I'll just power through it.
Yeah.
So speaking of not binging, have you seen Daredevil Season 2 yet, Justin?
Yes.
You did, okay.
Yeah. I thought that
have
was pretty good.
Have you seen a new trailer for Luke Cage?
It looks so good.
God, I haven't. Can we go back to Strange Things for a second?
Like September 30 for Cage, I think?
Yeah. Okay, one quick thing about the Luke Cage trailer, and then we'll go back to Stranger Things. I love how they show a shot of him when he's getting the serum or whatever gives him his powers, and part of it for some reason they pay this awesome homage to the original Luke Cage, who has the metal headband and the metal bracelet gauntlet things going on. It's just part of the machine that he ends. There's just a shot of him with the metal headband thing and bracelets. I thought it was awesome. Anyways, Stranger Things.
So good. It is so good.
The toothless kid is my favorite.
Yeah,
by far. So good. Oh
my gosh. They have captured that 80s vibe. like down to a T, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, it feels like it just soaks in the 80s.
Even the score, I think the music they put on it. Mm-hmm.
I find the sheriff really, really compelling. I like the actor who's doing whoever's portraying him, and the character's really, really interesting.
Right.
I find that quite cool.
Winona Ryder too, man.
Yeah, bang up job.
She's got a tough part to act, and she's killing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got the X-Files feel to it, right? It's got a little bit of everything. Like it's just and almost like monster. You know, like I'm so you know, just getting to a point now where we're starting to see the creature,
mm-hmm.
right? So you know, and it's becoming more apparent. It's got like almost M. Night Shyamalan feeling at times to it.
Sure.
Like it's just really good.
Yeah, dude, I love that. It's so good. It's I'm looking forward to season, you know, to see what they do with season two. I won't, you know, no spoilers for that because you.
Did they?
But they've announced it. They've announced it. I think.
Really?
I think so.
Huh. Interesting.
I wonder
if it's going to be kind of like almost done the way that like American Horror Story is done, where it's. You know, it'll be set somewhere completely different, completely. Oh,
no
cast.
Spoilers! No spoilers! I can't get into that without getting into spoiler territory.
Oh, so, okay. All right.
I doubt it though. I doubt it.
Okay. So in short, look for my reaction to the line chat in about 24 hours from now when I'm done the movie. Done it. Okay.
But it's definitely. Yeah, where are we here? So season two is a go. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's to go. So that's awesome. So, but yeah, that's pretty good. I've been binging that. I just saw the freakiest movie called The Babadook. I don't know if you've ever even heard of it.
I've heard of The Babadook.
It's like this. It's like a horror movie, but it's like a psychological thriller sort of thing too. And there's so much freaking symbolism in it. And for a therapist type thing. Like there's so much stuff about like grief and stuff in it. I was just curious if anybody had seen it, but probably not. It's really good
Richard, are you a horror fan?
Yeah, I'm really big into horror.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I have, yep.
Oh, so good.
I watched it on Netflix like a month ago or so.
Yeah.
It was really so good.
Yeah, it's there's so like I got sucked into all like the symbolism of what everything means and all that kind of stuff after I watched it, and it was really good. So, and like very few actors in that movie too. It was like basically just the mom and her kid, and the monster or whatever. Oh, so good. Anyways, Nintendo. I don't know.
Yeah, Nintendo.
I actually have some questions that were submitted that we can talk about if you want.
Let's go for it.
Yeah, I'll start answering some of these. So Chris asks, and this will be good to kind of go around the entire group. Chris asks, what non-electronic games do you guys like to play with either strictly your friends, family, or friends and family? So what non... So I'll go to this one. I'll pull this one first. I'm a huge board game fan. I love playing board games. Mm-hmm. I'll give you three games that I like to play right now. Two of them are really good for kids. One of them does not work. The first one I'm playing is Exploding Kittens. That was a Kickstarter project. You can check that on Amazon. That's a great one.
I Kickstarted that one. We got our package, and the week later, we lost it. I have no idea where it happened to it.
Weird.
Somewhere in the house, I hope. But
that's a really great game, not only for kids, but for adults. Like it's super easy to pick up. Really enjoy that one. Second one is Kings of Tokyo.
Yeah,
that's a fantastic fantasy game. Andrew Garfield, I think is not the actor.
Andrew
Garfield. What? I think he's the guy who actually designed it. But it's a fantastic game, Kings of Tokyo. There's a Kings of New York as well. I'd recommend going Kings of Tokyo.
Okay.
And then, it's a more simplified one, isn't it?
Yeah, Kings of Tokyo is more simplified. So if you have kids, you're gonna rope them in. That's a good way. But it's a good
Richard.
Oh, Richard, Andrew, Richard. Okay. It's good any levels. Zach, myself, and Sean Capri were playing that up in Edmonton about a month and a bit ago. Mm-hmm. And then the third one I would really recommend is Pandemic.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm playing Pandemic Legacy, which is where you buy a season. And every single time, you have to actually do things to the board, like put stickers on it and rip up player cards. And it's like, it has whatever happens in game one has permanent effects for the next 24 games, which is a really cool methodology. So those are things I like to play that are not video game related. So, yeah.
Sure. Let me ask you a question about the Kings of Tokyo and the Kings of New York. You were saying the Tokyo is a little bit more simplified. It's really good for kids. My wife and I, we don't have kids yet.
Sure.
And we do like tabletop games. We play with our circle of friends. You know, we're a little bit older. So would New York maybe be a better option for that demographic?
I would probably still go to to Tokyo before I go to New York. And I think the reason for that is we even found, like, when it's just, like, my wife and we have, like, other family or other couples over that don't have kids and the kids are in bed, we'll go to Tokyo before we'll go to New York.
Gotcha.
Is it just the simplicity and the sort of almost I don't want to say pick up and play because that's more of a video game term, but kind of. That's my sense anyway.
Yeah, like when it was Sean, Zach, and I, it literally took, I think, a total of 3 minutes to explain how the game works. And we could have played it for hours, like, you know, another rounds, and it was really good. So I'd recommend that way.
Okay. Yeah, because we almost bought it this past weekend. Amazon had a big sale on all their tabletop games.
Yep.
And that was in our cart. We ended up removing it at the last minute and not getting it, but that's good to hear. We may circle back around to that one.
They've also got for Tokyo specifically, they also have expansion packs. So if you did find it too easy at times, or you needed that other level to make it complex, you pick up the expansion packs, and those are really cheap too. So, but I'd definitely go Tokyo first.
Do those just add new monsters and new powers and stuff?
It adds a new monster. It adds different cards. It actually adds different abilities, which is really kind of a cool factor. It adds like a second layer to it, which makes it a lot more complex. It's pretty cool, actually.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, it's on sale. It's what, 40? This is .ca, but
so it's like $12 bucks? American, probably.
Probably.
Damn currency. So,
yeah. Thanks a lot, Obama.
Wow! That just went.
I don't know who we're going to be thanking in a few months, but it's not going to be good.
Yeah. We all from afar watch, and we all kind of wonder. We're like, oh, man, what are you guys doing down there?
Yeah.
We're going to build a wall before you do.
And Ben joined.
Hey, Ben, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, how about you?
Hey.
Can't complain.
Right on. So we've got Brian with us, we've got Richard, Zach, myself, Jesse. This is the largest crew we've had do this.
Right on, man. I think we've, sweet.
I like it. Brian, you were saying you play some tabletop though games, right? What other any other ones you'd recommend?
Yeah, well, we just picked up Forbidden Desert.
Yes.
I've played Forbidden Island a lot. Some of our friends have that one. And always have a good time with that one. I love cooperative tabletop games, and that's just a really fun one that's quick to pick up. You know, it doesn't take several hours to play, and you can get
I'm going to assume then, Brian, you've played Pandemic?
I have played Pandemic, and okay. I do really like that one. I have not played Legacy.
Okay.
The idea behind it sounds really fun, but I don't know that I could buy a game that I have to permanently...
Destroy.
Destroy, exactly.
Yeah. We have like the basic Pandemic one, the kind of the starter one, and then somebody bought us Legacy for Christmas, so we have kind of both that. But the people who did Forbidden Island and Forbidden Desert is the same development company as Pandemic.
Mm.
So
yeah, that Flashpoint is another fun cooperative game where a house is catching on fire. You've got to rescue everybody in it and get out before the place crashes on you.
Nice.
And then we're taking a chance on Legends of Andor. We have not played that one anywhere, but you know, going by ratings and the videos that we were watching, it seems like it's pretty fun, fantasy style adventure game.
Nice, I like that. Anyone else tabletoppers? table toppers? That's not a real thing, is it?
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. New podcast coming from Nintendo Dads.
Tabletop dads. Hey, Richard, you put a question in the Patreon that I wanted to answer. Richard, your question was, and this will be a good opportunity for everyone to join in. When you were young, what games on the NES or SNES or GBA or Game Boy or Game Boy Advance did you love but never got a sequel that you would have liked them to get now?
Hmm.
What do you guys think?
Hmm.
The one that immediately came to mind, and I know, Zach, you need to think of Sega, so you know I'll let you really ponder the garbage you had over there.
Shots fired.
I actually was thinking more Game Boy stuff, but anyways.
Yeah, a lot of the games, my favorite games were sequels, and therefore had subsequent sequels, so I'm not sure. That's a good interest.
I would have really liked to see a sequel to Super Metroid in that exact same kind of art style on the SNES again.
So, like, you want Zero Mission on the SNES?
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. Ben, what about you? Any sequels that you wanted?
Man, they didn't make a sequel to that awesome Aladdin game, did they?
Yeah, it's called Lion King.
Yeah, seriously.
No, I don't think they did. That would have been, but they made a lot of straight to tape videos for it.
Yeah, they were so good.
Yeah, it was. It depended on the platform you were playing it on, though. That was an interesting time where you could have two games named the same, you know, one on Sega and one on Super Nintendo, but they played entirely different. You know,
was Aladdin considered a good one for?
It was good on Sega. But it was considered pretty bad on Super Nintendo, if I'm remembering.
Yeah, I think both of those games, Lion King and Aladdin, were supposed to be better on the Genesis.
Yeah, Aladdin, I actually played that not too long ago, and it is good still. Like, it holds up.
I'm
trying to think, as far as Game Boy games, most of the stuff... The thing is that... I think other than Metroid, what other series has Nintendo like not really done sequels for when it's successful? You know what I mean? Like most of them, they actually are like, oh crap, we should make another one of those, and they actually do most of the time. But I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Especially GBA era, they actually put out a lot of stuff.
Did DuckTales have a sequel?
Oh, that's
no,
a good
one. No.
I think anything licensed probably didn't, other than Ninja Turtles, that had like a ton. But
what else? Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers would be a good sequel.
Mm-hmm. I think there might have been a DuckTales too, because I think
what
I remember reading somewhere that if you try to buy it now, it's like really expensive.
If only there was a device that could tell us.
There is a DuckTales too.
What? Shut up.
For NES and Game Boy released in April 93.
You know what was a great game for the NES? Flintstones.
Don't think I ever played that one.
Fantastic.
I do remember renting that at one point, and there was that basketball game where you had to throw the rock basketball into the pelican mouth. Yep.
Yeah, which apparently now it's like it's a very difficult game to actually purchase. Like it's, I think it's like the top 20... difficult games for the NES to find, and of course I had it, and of course gave it away.
Gosh, I know.
Of course.
I regret that. I got rid of all of my old NES, Sega Genesis, you know, many, many years ago now, but, you know, you sold it for pennies back then, and, you know, it's coming back around where retro is fun, and it's coming back into the light a little bit, so, you know, I'm kind of regretting getting rid of all of those old consoles and games.
Yeah.
I've got one, actually, and I know that they actually did a sequel to this, but I'm not. I refuse to count it. Super Mario Land 2, 6 golden coins. Somebody's got some very loud mic going on. I know that they did Super Mario Land 3, which ended up being the first Wario game. But I was always like, well, give me another Mario game on Game Boy, man. I don't want to just have nothing but Wario games now on on Game Boy, and they never made another Mario game on Game Boy after Super Mario Land 2. So that is one that I always wanted a sequel, like a proper sequel to Super Mario Land 2, but they never did. So
I'd like to see an I'd like to actually see a sequel to Super Mario 2. But not Super Mario 3.
Yeah, dude, that's a good one.
Like, go back down that road of
Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, too. Doki Doki Panic. It's almost like at that point in the Mario series, I would love to have seen like a parallel universe open, right? And you continue down like a Super Mario 3, Doki Doki Panic, and then you also have Super Mario 3, the one that we know opened up, and it's like this parallel kind of track going down. And at some point, like in the Super Nintendo era, they all like recombine for this incredible game.
So you want another Mario game where you throw vegetables at frogs?
Hey, don't get judgy. I'm just tired of jumping on Goombas, alright? I want something different.
Fair.
Did any of you guys ever play the Guardian Legend on the NES?
No.
I might have.
That's the game that made me think of this question. It's like half space shooter and half, I don't know what to really compare the other half of the game to. Kind of like a Zelda type, maybe, sort of. It's like a... It's weird. It's like two different games in one, but the way they did it, it really flowed pretty well.
Nice.
No, yeah, I haven't ever seen that before. That sounds...
Alright, I have one similar to what Zach did. Is I know there is a sequel, but I don't want to count it. ActRaiser.
Oh, I've heard of that one.
Because I liked the god mode parts of the first ActRaiser. Didn't really like the action parts, but the sequel is only action parts.
Hmm.
I want more of the god mode.
Yeah, the first one was definitely the best of the two.
I remember playing it a while back, like on an emulator. I'm on my computer, and I got to the final boss, and I couldn't beat it. But I enjoyed the god mode part.
Nice.
I
might have to pick to play that through again.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. All right. Before I go to these questions, Ben, Brian, or Richard, any questions you have for us or anything you want us to chat about?
Sure. Has anybody been to one of the Symphony of the Goddess concerts yet?
We'll hand this over to Jesse.
Yes, I have. I actually had to pay for my tickets, unlike some people.
I'm so excited, dude.
Yeah, I think, you're going next month?
I think it's like the 21st or 22nd or something like that.
Yeah, right around the time your child is supposed to be being born, isn't that
you
right?
You know what, though? My child is due on like the 15th, and my first two kids were born like a week early, so I'm golden. we're good.
So I ended up going to one in March, you know, when they were in Kansas City, and I bought my tickets on day one. In fact, I think before general public opened it, because I had a code to buy it like a day early or advanced sales. So I don't remember if I was exactly front row, but I was really close to front row and center. And nice. In fact, I think I ended up being too close. You know, I might have enjoyed it more if I was further back and could see the full screen that they had behind the orchestra, mm-hmm. because we were so close, you know, we couldn't see the bottom third.
Okay.
But it was still fun. You know, it was about
how
2 hours.
I was about to ask.
About 2 hours. So they play for about an hour and then have an intermission, and then they play for another hour, and then they wrap it up.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going next month, September 10th, in Atlanta. So I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it too. I actually have been meaning to email those guys, because Justin, at least maybe this is something we don't record. Yeah, whatever. But because of like getting press passes, we may have the opportunity to get some sort of an interview. I don't know for sure, but that's what they told us. Right? So I guess like we just need to I don't know if it's like in person, or I'm assuming it's in person, which means I don't know, is it professional to record on my iPhone? Because that's what I'm gonna do.
I think it's just fine.
I don't have anything else to do it on. I could probably buy like a little microphone that I can plug into my phone and make it a little more schnazzy, but yeah.
What happens when the public relation guy pulls the strings, sees what happens.
That's right, man. That's when it's like, hey, look, they have a press button on their website.
The website. Let's fucking
throw us that press button and see what happens.
Magic happens.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, no, I'm kind of jealousy, actually. Like, I mean, Edmonton's only 5 hours away, but it looks like it'd be really, really quite good. So I can't wait to hear the reaction.
And I said, I did say before, this is not a con. It's a symphony orchestra. I wouldn't recommend the cosplay or having too much fun with what you wear. You should dress appropriately for a symphony orchestra. Though there were a few people dressed up in cosplay that were really nice.
I think I might just pull a Miyamoto and wear like a Zelda t-shirt with a suit jacket over top.
There you go.
I would consider that completely appropriate.
That's class. I like
that. That's what I was thinking, actually. Getting a sport coat.
You're still classy with throwing a little Zelda in there.
Yeah.
Like, there was one guy there dressed as full-blown Tingle.
Oh, gosh.
And everything. I took a picture of him. I need to find that and share it with you guys.
That is
an oddly misplaced sock is somewhere inappropriate.
And then there were more than one very nice looking Zeldas. Full princess. full princess outfit.
Nice. That's super cool.
Nice.
Like, I'll try to airplane that picture to my iPad so I can put it into the line chats.
There. Very cool. I like it.
Do I can find those.
Ben, any questions from you or anything you want to chat about?
Zach, when are you going to download Seventh Dragon?
You know what? I actually downloaded the demo and I didn't get very far in it. But it's a slog to get through. Like, there's so much exposition and that slogs me down quite a bit. Or like it really bogs me down. I couldn't even figure in the demo. I don't know if it's just a crappy demo, but it's hard to navigate through. Like, okay, well, it's like this weird virtual reality thing or something.
I didn't think the demo was very good.
And I'm supposed to find somewhere to go, but I don't really know where I'm supposed to go. Like, it was a confusing demo. I don't know. I'm gonna go back to it though because I did download it and tried it a little bit, but I didn't give it enough time.
It's kind of a confusing game.
Are you liking that game, though?
Yeah, I'm liking it, but it's really easy to get lost in it. Like, they tell you one time where you're supposed to go, and if you don't pay attention really close to the dialogue, it can take you a long time to figure out where it is you're supposed to go, because there's nowhere on the map that indicates it. You can't pull the dialogue back up. It's not in a quest log. So I like it a lot, but, you know, I mean, sometimes I'll pick the game up and play it for 10 or 15 minutes and put it down. And if I don't remember exactly what they said in the dialogue, you're kind of screwed then.
Yeah, that's what I felt the demo was like too, where it was just like, okay, like, because a lot of times I'm kind of just used to the idea of like, okay, well, I'm kind of skimming as I go through this dialogue, and then, all right, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, go. I'm like, wait, uh-oh, I must have missed something, because I clearly didn't read this, you know, well enough to know where I'm supposed to be going, and then I just wander around aimlessly and then turn it off. So
I just put four pictures in line chat. The top three are kind of dark and kind of lousy, but then the fourth one is out in the hallway, and there's the Tingle.
The one thing that I really liked about it, though, or that I thought was really interesting, was the different styles, like that you could do. Like, another thing that made me sad about the demo was they've come right out and say, yeah, there's no character customization in this game. Which, at least when I was looking at the website, was a really interesting part of what the game was to me. So, do you find that's pretty good? Like, is that a... Like, because there's different styles of art, too, as you kind of go through it.
Yeah, I mean, you pick a fighting style for each one of your team. There's not a lot of customization. It's kind of, once you've picked it from the get-go, you're kind of stuck with how they are, so...
Oh, really?
Which I know you were kind of excited from the last Nintendo Dads about having that customization, but I haven't encountered the ad. I've only played it for about 6.5 hours, but you'd think that would be enough time to get a feel for it.
Yeah. It the more I kind of looked at it too, the more it was like it looked like it might just be when you start the game, choose your flavor of art, whether it's like this sort of more of like a pop anime style. I think they call it like Tokyo, and then there's one that's more of like a almost like a sort of, I don't want to say medieval, but you know what I mean, like sort of more of like a generic fantasy sort of art style, and then, but it didn't really seem to have very much of an effect on the gameplay, which is surprising, because you would think if you're going to literally make all of the art assets for this game three times, that you would make it a little bit of a bigger part of the game, but I guess not. I don't know, it's weird.
I was a lot more excited about it after 2 hours than I'm after six, so that doesn't say much good about it.
That's good to know.
I guess Jesse's feeling about Super Paper Mario, Paper Jam. He was excited for the first 2 hours, not six later.
Yeah, well, again, they had the shiny sticker enemies back from Sticker Star, and they're just lousy.
Nice.
They're like double the hit points, double the defense, and triple the attack. They're like, so if you don't know how to dodge, you're screwed.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
What else are you guys playing? Richard, what are you playing?
Lately I've been playing, I just started playing, Mario Tennis Ultra Smash.
Oh, how's that, man?
I was able to pick it up really cheap at Best Buy, and it's actually pretty good.
You find it's good. Is it like a full price game good, or is it like, if you get on?
Ben is shaking his head afar.
It's definitely, if you can get it cheap.
It's discount bin good.
Yeah.
It's box quote for you.
I paid like $16 for it, so.
That's probably a fair price for it, based on what I've heard.
Yeah, that'd be okay.
It controls good like the other ones do. It's just the modes, I don't understand what they did. There's not even like a tournament mode, really.
Wasn't Mario Kart kind of like that when it came out, though? Like, it was good, but I feel like Mario Kart 8 didn't really get good until the DLC came out. Like, before then, it was kind of like, well, it's maybe like a 7.5 or an 8. They didn't really do anything amazing with it. And then they did the DLC, and everybody was like, oh, man, this is amazing.
No, where I think you're on crack.
I don't think that... I'm not the only one who, like... Like, the menus and stuff were... There was just a lot of stuff going on in that game that people were like...
Yeah. I know the people who felt the 150cc were easy, you know, and I'm not in that group. I can't control the thing worth crap. Enjoyed the 200cc mode. But, yeah, again, I can't even play the 150cc mode.
I just remember that game was... That there wasn't a whole lot of excitement after you'd kind of gotten through the initial stuff, which I think Mario Kart Wii had the same issue, right? Where it was just kind of,
and my son managed to unlock 200, and I don't know how. I didn't think he was that good either, but apparently he's better than I am.
Yeah,
that's a game that my wife and I love to play together. She doesn't play a lot of games, but that's one where she can get pretty competitive in.
So we
love that one from the start. We've had no issues with, you know, the modes or whatever that it has to offer. The DLC, though, it was like super exciting when that came out, and for it to come out as it wasn't free DLC. Never mind, I was thinking that
it was like, it was like $10.
It was super cheap DLC. Yeah,
$10 or $12 I think for both packs. And then
that's what I mean.
With me just being a huge Zelda fan, like having Link in the game and the Hyrule Castle, and also back to F-Zero, with the music. Oh my gosh, I mean that took me back to, you know, childhood times, and then put a big grin on my face. So I think Mario Kart is done very, very well.
Yeah, I think mostly what I was saying was that for people who, there was a subset of Nintendo fans who were wanting Nintendo to break new ground with Mario Kart, and it felt like more of the same, and it wasn't until they did this DLC pack where they added Zelda and Animal Crossing and F-Zero and
a lot of people's before,
that was where they were like, okay, now we're doing something cool.
Because a lot of people's favorite part of the original game was the battle mode, as opposed to the original races. Uh-huh. So when they kind of went on the battle mode in 8, that got people upset.
I'll be honest with you, I forgot it even had a battle mode until you just mentioned it, because I don't even consider that as part of the game.
Exactly.
It's such an afterthought, right? Yeah.
They have to get better at being able to jump into somebody else's game on the fly and actually have voice chat added.
Sure.
Especially if, like, I'm setting up a group and it's all of us playing, I should be able to establish, like, we're all friends on the code or whatever it is, or it's a private room. It should be open, free chat throughout the entire game so that I can talk smack whenever I want.
Yeah, I agree.
They need to fix that.
We should have that option, in a public room. I'm okay with them muting chat a little bit, but in a private room, let us talk. We shouldn't have to rely on Skype.
Sure. Mm-hmm. If there was one more criticism I could make about Mario Kart 8, it would be, I don't know. It seems like I don't notice how beautiful and detailed the environments are unless I'm just watching somebody else play. Mm-hmm. As a player who is racing, the action is so fast, and they've introduced this new gravity sort of gameplay element where the track twists and turns upside down and goes straight up 90 degree angles, and a lot of those details you cannot catch unless you're just watching other people play it.
You can say the same for the first Kirby game on Wii U, because you pretty much have to play the game on the gamepad. You're completely missing the high-res graphics.
Oh, the Rainbow Curse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get to play that one.
Well, I mean, the argument can even be made about Star Fox, right? So, you're spending so much of your time looking at that freaking gamepad that you're not looking up, really, right?
Yeah.
Nintendo kind of did a bit of a disservice for, I think...
Albeit both of those games are games I didn't buy, but sure.
Yeah.
I believe you.
But Brian, I agree. Like, it's gorgeous, right? The game's gorgeous. Absolutely is. But you're spending too much time... But I guess, that's a tough argument, right? Like,
it is.
I appreciate they didn't make it crappy to look at.
Well, that really goes to the NX, right? With, like, for goodness sakes, if we're gonna have this second screen, if this is gonna be a portable unit, I know I've said it a lot, but, like, get a decent screen on that thing, man. Like, I don't want to be looking at something in, like, 480p. I don't care if it's on a tiny little screen. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's got to look better than that. It's got to be a good quality screen, or it's you'd lose so much detail on the gamepad. You get more detail on a Vita, which is a significantly smaller screen. So,
I feel that way about the 3DS screens too.
Oh yeah,
3DS. Look at your phone all day and your TV, everything's in high def, then you look at that thing for 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Yeah, it's bad. And I mean, granted, they've done some really awesome things with it. Like, that says nothing about the quality of the games that they've managed to release for it. But it's 2016. You know what I mean? Like, especially on the XL. You know, it's particularly bad on the XL, where it's you can very easily see the graininess of that, set the low resolution screen. It's a little rough.
Here's a thought though, like, one of the greatest things about the 3DS is the backwards compatibility with the DS games.
Mm-hmm.
And so if let's say the new 3DS had a full high-def screen, and you were trying to stretch those older DS, smaller resolution images onto that screen, what would the fidelity look like of that video?
We have the ability to put Game Boy games on a big TV already, so at least this thing's not going to look that bad.
It's like
still on a smaller screen.
Sure.
Yeah, I think you would have to have the right, where you run into, at least this is my understanding, Jesse, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that you've got to have the right ratio of pixels. So it's not necessarily that it has to be 1-to-1 for pixel count on the display, but it's got to be in a way where it you're helps. Not compressing it and you're not pixelating it as it. So if, for example, if you have one pixel, if you're able to do like a 2-by-2 square representing one pixel on the thing, I don't know if I'm making sense, but basically, if you have the ratio right, it should look okay. But you would have to have it essentially be 4 times the resolution of the original image. So I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, I understood at least what you meant to say. Reminds me of back in what would have been 2020 or late 2010, early 2011. They put out an Intellivision Lives for DS, and this was a game that was pretty much written, developed in the early stages of DS back in 2004, 2005, and then shelved because they couldn't find a publisher until really late in the DS life. And so when they finally released, I picked it up. I did a review of it, and had a review up on VG Tribune. And it was kind of a mixed bag of this game works good, emulates well. This game emulates not so well. There was one game in particular called Sub Hunt that the native resolution of the Intellivision is just a little bit bigger than the native resolution of the DS.
So it was like super pixelated or...
When it had actually had to shrink the game down to fit the DS, so some of the rows actually had to be omitted to draw it right. And if you're looking at a picture where part of the boat is one pixel deep, it literally vanishes.
Yeah,
so you don't want to do that.
I guess my point is I believe that Nintendo can do it. I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, so we don't have to worry about one pixel deep art anymore like we did back in 1981, 1982. Still, as long as it's basically pixel ratios and aspect ratios need to be consistent. A lot of people don't like the black bars, but I personally don't like to see the stretched image.
I think the NES Mini or whatever, they're going to be doing it with that anyways, right? So
yeah, they'll probably have options for the people who want to choose what the option is. I know, like, if you try to play a Game Boy game on a GBA, you have the ability to go back and forth between the black bars and the stretched.
The shoulder buttons.
And I can't... My son likes to play it with the stretch, and I can't stand the hell that works.
That's heresy, man. That's,
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I think you should question your parenting.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Well, folks, with that being said, we are just about at the top of the hour, and we got another show to do. So Ben, Richard, and Brian, thanks guys for jumping in. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Good time.
Thanks for having us.
No worries. And thanks for being a Patreon supporter. Thank you for contributing to our line chat. You guys are in there as well. Hopefully you're finding value in that. Lots of good conversations. I'm seeing a lot of awesome stuff there. So guys, we really appreciate it.
Very cool. Thank you guys. See you next show.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. We will we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Have a good one.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so we're recording. So what is the deal here? We got more of them, right?
Guys, yeah, so I kind of did a little bit of borrowing from Game Explains podcast of like submitting topics and questions for us to answer in our show. So we got a pretty good response. So I've got some questions here. Some of them we answered before. I've got four questions. We're going to kind of do a rapid response. So, like,
all right.
don't think a lot about it. Just, like, go ahead with it, all right?
Okay, so
first
here...
First question comes...
Let's... I just feel like we need some... Here, music? Does this music work? Like, where is it? Is it going to work? What's going on? All right, there we go. All right, let's do it.
All right. First question comes from Gary Gray. For a gaming topic, I'd like to hear your stories about media growing up through the NES and SNES era, other than Nintendo Power. In the UK, we had some great TV shows, including Game Masters. All right, so I have one. I did some research on this one because I remember watching as a kid. There was a show called Video Game and Arcade and Video Game Top 10. Oh, I had it a moment ago. Bear with me. I'm gonna pull it up for you, but it was a Canadian show. I don't know, Zach, if you remember watching it, where it is like the biggest promo for any kind of video game product at all. But they played video games, and that was the point of it. Like, they told you, like, hey, here's a secret. Here's where some of these secret levels are, and here's some tips how to use extra lives. And now we're gonna play Mario Kart. So yeah, that was a big media that, and of course, Reviews on the Run, right? An EP.
That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, which up in Canada was a show that was basically where you got all your video game news. So that was kind of the ones that I remember.
That was the only thing that I really remember. I remember Nintendo Power, and I don't even remember what it was, but I remember specifically. This is like a super random memory, but I remember I was in Waterton, which is like a national park in the mountains. You know, you're supposed to be up in the mountains doing whatever, being all nature-y or something, hugging trees and whatnot. But there was an arcade in this one like gas station. They had Mortal Kombat 3, which for like what year would that have been? Like what? Anyways, 94. So I was like probably like what, 9 or 10 years old, right? Which for me is like, holy crap, Mortal Kombat. That's like the coolest thing ever. So I actually found at like this gas station, there was some sort of gaming magazine. I don't even remember what it was, but it had all of the moves for Mortal Kombat 3. And so I basically just like consumed that entire magazine one summer. Like, I was there for like a week, and I probably went, the gas attendant probably was like, what are you doing, man? Just get out of here. Go enjoy the mountains or something. But no, I just read this magazine and then went to the arcade and played Mortal Kombat 3. So
nice.
You know,
the show was Video and Arcade Top 10.
I don't remember that at all.
No, I'm going to put a post on it on our Facebook page next week. Check it out. But you can go to Google or YouTube and just check out Video and Arcade Top 10.
Oh my gosh. No, yeah, now that you say that. Yes, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Look, who is this Nicholas Pickles? What?
Nicholas,
oh my gosh, man. Host. Oh my gosh. What is going on? Now I have it. Okay, this is like a rabbit hole. Hang on.
Is he playing an audio clip out of it?
I don't know if it's actually going to work. What is going on? When was this? Oh my gosh, the music. You probably can't hear it. Oh, it's like a game show, man. You're totally right.
It's a video game show.
Oh my gosh, dude. This is incredible.
It was on YTV.
This is a blast from the past, man. Holy crap, dude. I forgot this existed.
Yeah, I remember even like writing in and being like, if I win, here's my address you can send all the video games to.
This is like it's like Nintendo World Championships every single week.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think we had anything like that.
Oh man, the Watch This Kid's gonna win, man. That's sweet. Oh my gosh. This is the best thing I've ever seen.
And then when they like, because they compete against each other and then they have to like play a game to win. And what they always play is like a 3D game where they have to like step, it's like stepping into a video game. They have to like play as a character. So they have to like jump and dodge fireballs. And
I may actually just sit down and watch full episodes of this after we're done for like into the middle of the night. That's one of the best things I've ever seen. Holy crap, dude. You know what? And then of course the on the side here, there's another one called Uh-Oh, and it's another game show, YTV game show.
Yep. Jesse, you guys didn't have any kind of game shows or like that, or video game shows?
I don't think we did.
Of course,
Go ahead, sorry.
It's not really console video game related, but there was a magazine that I used to subscribe to in the early to mid 80s. Or actually, I think it actually went back into the early 90s. It was more for computing, you know, the home computer stuff. It started off as being called Family Computing. And then, you know, they would have, they would have several articles. They might have some PC game reviews in there and tips. But, the bulk of the magazine had basic programs you can type in to play mini games or to do some, like, you know, you want to convert cups to pints? Here's a program that'll help you do that. You know, things like that. Hmm. And, of course, with so many different flavors of basic out there, you know, they had 7 different versions of the same program for different computers, depending on how their flavor of BASIC worked.
Right.
And then that evolved into family and home office computing, which then evolved to just home office computing before it finally died.
Right.
Wow.
And then I remember one of the last issues, instead of having a BASIC program, actually had like an Excel spreadsheet, you know, type this formula into this cell, type this formula into this cell. You know, I don't remember. I don't even remember what it did. I typed everything in, and then I'm like, okay, now what? Now what? I don't get it. You know, I think at the time I was 14 or 15.
Right. I think a couple other things that I remember is the Super Mario Super Show.
Yep.
The Legend of Zelda had a Super Show. Captain N and the Game Masters.
The Zelda things was actually, it was part of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, but the Zelda episodes aired on the Fridays.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right, that's right.
We had Captain N.
Yeah. So those are things that I kind of remember being aware of as well.
Dude, sorry, I'm just still looking at this video and arcade top 10. And one of the prizes is a set of 2 CDs. One of them is Slow Jams, Volume 2, and the other one is USA Tunes 97. Oh my gosh.
Epic.
Wow. I can't
retail even. Prize, $13.
And they're playing, the first game that they play is Mario Kart 64.
And in Canada, that's 27.
Oh, holy crap, dude. That's fantastic. I seriously, this is a rabbit hole that I may never recover from.
You may forget it.
Right on. Well, okay.
Hopefully you can recover for our next question, because the next question comes from Eric Plunk. He says, I have multiple game consoles in multiple rooms in my house. I think a lot can be said about what gets more playtime depending on what room a console is in. In which room are each of your systems that you guys own? Which system gets the most attention?
So in my house, we have the main floor, which I kind of have this thing. I don't know if it's just how I like grew up, but growing up, what we called like the main floor. The main floor was like, the kitchen and the living room, right? Which is like the sitting room. When I was growing up, there wasn't a TV in there even. And so it was like a place where all the family comes when the family visits and everybody sits there. And then downstairs was the family room where we had the TV and all the games and stuff. And until very recently, I've really been like, I think for me, ideally, I would prefer to not have my main sort of like sitting room where like guests come and just to like have a good conversation and whatever and hang out. I prefer to not have a TV in that room unless it's closed up, you know, like you've got like a thing with doors on it. And so our Wii U is downstairs hooked up to the TV. But my 3DS gets much more gameplay time than my Wii U does. So I don't know. We actually do have a little TV upstairs right now. I think mostly it's because of just the way things have worked out. The will of everybody else in the house, I have had to bow to that. So we've got a little TV on the main floor now, but, yeah, the main TV is still downstairs. I don't know. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah. So upstairs, you know, in our living room, our Wii is up there, and that's pretty much the only system up there. I had the PS2 up there for a while before I moved that downstairs. Downstairs, I actually have two TVs. One, I have a CRT, where I now have the PS2 on that, along with an Intellivision flashback, if you know what that is.
Okay.
And then next to that, you know, is my larger LCD screen. I pretty much have everything else on it. I have Retron 5, Wii U, PS3, PS4, Apple TV, cable box. There was something. I think I got them all. But the downside about that is if my son wants to play something and I want to play something, we can't play more than one thing at a time because it's all connected to one TV. So I was actually toying with the idea of getting another TV downstairs and kind of splitting the console load. But I don't know where I'm going to put anything.
Yeah.
That'll just be a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very cool. What about you, Justin?
We've kind of got a two living room setup. We have kind of the primary one upstairs, which is kind of where we watch all of our TV, watch our movies. And that one has the Wii U setup to it. And that's probably where we do the most of the gaming. And then we have a kind of a basement playroom, which is the girls, where they have all their toys and their Legos. We have kind of cushions and everything set up there. And there we have the Wii setup. We also actually have the PS3 set up there and an old school NES. And actually the thing that gets the most usage is actually the Wii U upstairs. And that's probably just because they're playing with them. But if I came downstairs down here more and played with them in their playroom, we'd be playing on the Wii, I'm sure, more.
Cool. And that's where you've been doing your like Just Dance, right?
Yep.
Is on the Wii.
Yeah. Yeah, because we have enough room down here for the Just Dance. So cool. Yeah. Good question, Eric. All right. This one now, guys, this next one from Paul Lloyd. I don't want you to think about really. Don't give it a lot of thought. We're just gonna go through it, okay? I don't want rationale or reasoning. But here's Paul's question. There are always top five lists talked about for each console, but what would be your number one for each Nintendo console? NES, SNES, 64, GameCube, Wii, and Wii U. I put a lot of thought into this, and my list is as follows. NES, Duck Hunt. SNES, Link to the Past. N64, Banjo-Kazooie. GameCube, Smash Brothers Melee. Wii, Super Mario Galaxy. And Wii U, Super Mario Maker. So, Paul, I'm going to run down my list while these gentlemen think about it. Now, Paul, I'm going to miss the GameCube because I never had a GameCube, so I can't give you any interpretation. But here we go. And again, I don't think these are...
Okay, so are we going by like absolutely the best or literally just the one that I feel like my most gut reaction, like I just have to say it because it was my favorite?
Think of this console, so
because best and favorite are different.
Here's the thing. Here's how I'm interpreting it. When I think of this console, what is the number one game that comes to mind?
Okay,
that's how I'm interpreting it. So do we want to go like round robin?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's go by system.
Okay, so let's start NES. I'm saying Super Mario 3.
Okay, Jesse, go. NES.
I'd probably say Super Mario 3 as well.
Okay, I'm going to say Excitebike.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
Super Nintendo, my round. Super Metroid.
Final Fantasy VI. Released as Final Fantasy III, but I will not admit that's the title.
Yeah.
But
just based on memory, I want to say Mario Kart. The original Mario Kart.
N64, GoldenEye.
I don't know.
This one's easy for me. Star Fox 64.
Yeah, he just bought you 3 seconds, Jesse. Yeah. When you think N64, what's the game that comes to your mind?
Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay, there we
go. Kind of a toss-up between there.
Okay, GameCube. I can't weigh in. Zach.
I got to say, either Wind Waker or Eternal Darkness.
Okay, Jesse.
I kind of expected you to say Prime, but it would be Wind Waker for me.
Okay. We're coming back. For the Wii, I'm going to say Super Mario Galaxy. Zach.
Oh, For the Wii, I would say this is probably boring, but Wii Sports. Like, okay. Yeah.
Jesse.
Galaxy 2.
Yeah, okay. That's...
Going to the Wii U. Splatoon. Zach.
Ooh, that's... Yeah, Splatoon. Absolutely.
Jesse.
Mario Maker.
There you go.
There you go. I feel like... The thing is like, for some of those, I don't even necessarily say they're the best. They're just the ones that I had the most experience with and the most positive memories with.
Yep. Like, you know, I don't think GoldenEye was the best, but I had probably the most fun with GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy came up for me on Super Nintendo because I still consider that Final Fantasy VI my favorite game of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Justin, I just discovered a video episode of Video in Arcade Top 10 where the two games are Mario Kart 64 and Star Fox 64.
Nice.
By the way, listeners, just go to YouTube. Video in Arcade Top 10 number 307. You're welcome. All right.
All right. Final question comes from Jacob Rush. This is kind of cool. Jacob says, "We love the If We Ran Nintendo show." Jacob, I'm going to stop there. Thank you very much. That's not us. Sean Capri and Bobby do an okay job, but let's not really like stroke their ego too much.
They're fine.
In all fairness, we love them too. They do a fantastic job. And the person who does the intro for that show, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing
dude.
Intro.
Yeah.
But Jacob's question is in the vein of if we ran Nintendo. And here's his question. He says, if you guys ran Nintendo, how would you announce the NX to the public? And what top three games would you have at the launch release, not including Zelda? So this kind of rolls into what we had a conversation about earlier today. But how would you launch the NX? And what are the games you're going to put out at launch, not including Zelda?
I would
question similar that RFN had a few weeks ago.
I would.
I have an answer.
Okay, go.
Okay, I would invite. You know, I want to do a stage show similar to the old, you know, the old school E3 press events.
Yeah, I agree.
In inviting, you know, top, you know, YouTube celebrities, you know,
podcast celebrities.
Yeah,
probably some podcast celebrities.
I heard there's a really good show about Nintendo and parenting that you could invite people.
And then also just have opportunities for just the general public to have a chance to get in. I don't know how you do that. A drawing, a contest at Best Buy's, I don't care. But, you know, you have a mix of people showing up, not just media. And then, you know, do the stage show it off, and then at the end, shuffle everyone into a back room that has demo units up. Everyone gets a chance to have hands on. So again, not just media plays it, but people who will, you know, have, you know, the especially the YouTubers, the podcasters that probably has more outreach than the media does at this time. All have opinions and can talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then as for games, I'd want some sort of new Metroid in a 2D-ish style. I'd have to think about some of the others.
But, you say a 2D Metroid?
Yeah, kind of, you know, again, I would like another M without the verbose story.
Yeah. I think what they need to do, let's think about strategically. I 100% agree with you on the announcement. I think that they've got to have some sort of an accompanying digital event for the people at home.
Oh, definitely. This whole thing's streamed, so yeah. You know, this people can see it live as well.
Even have like maybe a little mini E3, where it's like a 1 day treehouse deal. I can see them maybe doing that. I think that they've got to be strategic about what they are doing. So I think they've got Zelda is a good hardcore. Like, I think they're going to get a lot of people with Zelda, especially people who maybe passed on the Wii U. But I think they also need to get the family market, which means they need to get, as much as I hate to, they need to have a multiplayer game. And I don't know if that is, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if that's like a new Super Mario Brothers, or if that's like a Nintendo Land or like a Wii Sports, something like that, where it's a multiplayer game, or like some sort of a Mario. I don't think Mario Party is it, but something in that vein where it's like a family getting together, having fun sort of thing. So that's the second one. And then just like, they've got to have the huge Mario game, I think. But basically you're going to have a tech demo game too, right? Especially because the system is so new and weird. So I don't know. That seemed really vague, but I don't know. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you need the press release, like you need the live event, you need the live stream to be able to do that. You need to kind of get all the hype, like all the information at once. You need people who are influencers with their hands on, with their impressions. Everything needs to be really polished. I think it needs to be really solid kind of out the door. And also saying, like, at launch, here are the games that we're going to have. Like, it can't just be, here's a system without any games. You need to say, here's a system, and in March, we're coming out with Zelda. April is going to be, you know, Mario. June is going to be Metroid. Like, whatever that is, right?
Okay, how many games, by the way, do we need to have?
I think you need to have four.
Four?
Four first parties within the first year.
And so, I think they need, like, twice that many.
I'd say they need four at launch and then continue at least another two per quarter.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing.
Keep the ball rolling.
Here's the thing that you've got to keep in mind is that this is it. The NX, there is no, well, the Wii U is in a slump, but the 3DS has got some great games. It's like, no, the NX is it. And so it's got to be,
right.
It's got to be like every month there's a new game. Is what I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. The games I would roll out with, I think, would definitely be Mario. I do think like a Nintendo Land or a Wii Sports, like you said, would be really intelligent. And then you need something like a hardcore game. So I think like a Metroid, yeah. But like a grittied up Metroid.
Like a Metroid Prime 4?
Yep.
That's what I want.
The problem with multiplayer game, if this is a portable-ish system, is... if the docking to the big TV is a thing, it still would be designed to be meant for one player per screen. You'd ultimately would need multiple units, which is possible if the thing is cheap enough. You know, if the thing ends up being 3DS price wise, sure, you can, but you need four devices to do it. Again, with download, something similar to download play, you may not need four copies of the game, but I think you need multiple units to do this,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to one unit with four controllers.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Folks, that's the questions. That's the questions submitted by our patreon.com, our Patreon supporters. Thank you guys very much. That was cool. Very rapid kind of answering. I think that was really awesome. So guys, thanks very much for your continued support on patreon.com.
Right on, guys. See you later. Well, let's play some music. Bye-bye. On the way out, shall we?
Rocket Man.
That music brought to you by the fan project of Mega Man versus Street Fighter.
Mega Man X comes out tomorrow.
So that's not Rocket Man, that's Rockman.
Yep.
Ah, there you go.
And... Nice.
Well done.